welcome to the IPSO podcast. We are IPSO, the Independent Press Standards Organisation, the independent regulator of the majority of the UK's newspaper and magazine industry. These podcasts are for anyone who's interested in newspapers, journalism, the media, how it's regulated, and of course our work. And I'm Vicky, I'm your host as always, and I am joined today by our outgoing head of complaints, very sadly, Bianca Stroman, and we are talking about privacy. So this is an interesting one, Bianca. Privacy in general is an issue that's really important, and there's a kind of genuine wider debate about privacy in the modern world, whether that be kind of state surveillance, social media, the tracking of people's preferences by internet companies, celebrity, and within that kind of newspapers and magazines. And certainly in terms of the press, I think it's a really interesting issue because there's always been quite a complicated juxtaposition between legitimate public exposure and unwarranted intrusion. And although obviously freedom of expression is really important, as well as privacy, they're both kind of fundamental rights that are vital to our society and democracy. But at times it seems like they kind of might be in conflict with each other. And I think that in terms of our work, privacy is actually one of the more interesting things that we can talk about, because there's not actually a definitive answer in it. It really is a matter of balance and judgment. Would you agree with that?
I would, yeah. I think the decisions that we make on privacy are some of the most difficult ones that we have to deal with, because they're always so dependent on such a wide range of factors. You know, you're looking at, is something intrusive? How much is it in the public domain? What has the person put in the public domain themselves? And then, as you're saying, you're balancing people's really important right to privacy against the media's right to freedom of expression.
And if we look at what the editor's code, which people that have listened to this podcast before will know, is the set of rules that newspapers and magazines that are regulated by IPSO must follow. So that's clause two. And it says that everyone is entitled to respect for his or her private and family life, home, health and correspondence, including digital communications. Part two of that clause says editors will be expected to justify intrusions into any individual's private life without consent, and in considering an individual's reasonable expectation of privacy, account will be taken of the complainant's own public disclosures of information and the extent to which the material complains about is already in the public domain or will become so. And part three of this says it's unacceptable to photograph individuals without their consent in public or private places where there is a reasonable expectation of privacy. We've got the right person here to break that down for us. So what does kind of this reasonable expectation of privacy mean?
Yeah, it's a difficult concept to give a clear definition of. But when the complaints committee, who make decisions on complaints, are looking at reasonable expectation of privacy, they're sort of looking at where is the person who's made a complaint, you know, in what location were they when a photograph was taken or when the material that is complained about was obtained? Are they in their home or, you know, in a hospital or somewhere very private, or are they in a very clearly public place? And the committee also looks at what are they doing when the photograph has been taken or when how the material was obtained. You know, receiving medical treatment, for example, is something that may well be private. And then the committee also look at what information is revealed about the person by the material that's been published. So does it just show their name or what they look like, or does it show something particularly personal about them? And as you mentioned, when you went through the code, we're also weighing that against what have they disclosed themselves? Is this information in the public domain already, or is it going to become in the public domain? And the other part of that, as you said, is that clause two is subject to a public interest exception. So that means that sometimes editors can publish material that might be intrusive or might breach somebody's privacy, but if they can demonstrate that there's a public interest in doing that, then the complaint wouldn't be upheld.
What sort of things would be in the public interest?
Exposing crime or impropriety is an example, or sort of holding public bodies to account. You know, you don't have to go as far as crime, but there's also a public interest in freedom of expression. So there will be cases where the committee say that a newspaper's right to freedom of expression will trump the other rights under the code.
So which is something we actually talk about a lot on the podcast, but I think it's particularly relevant in this case, is social media. And I mean, that has really intensified issues around privacy, hasn't it? Because more and more people, and I say people, celebrities, right through to just, you know, normal people like you or I, are putting lots more public sort of information in the public domain than ever before. And it's something that actually really regularly features in the complaints that we receive now, because a lot of people think that journalists are not allowed to use information from social media, but that's not actually true, is it?
No, it's not. And I think it is quite difficult, as you say, for anybody, members of the public or anybody using social media, to sort of grasp the contradictions here, because social media is a really public way of often living your private life. And the sorts of information people put on social media is information that 10, 20, 30 years ago you might only talk about to your close friends, not even colleagues. But they're putting that into a forum that can be accessed by lots of people who maybe they don't know. So IPSO has produced guidance on social media for editors and journalists, and also for members of the public, to help them understand this. But there's a few things that we will think about at IPSO when we're thinking about whether a journalist was justified in using something from social media. So it's who posted the information. Is it something that somebody's willingly chosen to share about themselves, or is it something that somebody else has shared about them, maybe without their consent? Mm. And as with when I was mentioning privacy, what is the information? Is it something very innocuous and not particularly personal or private, or is it something that really relates to somebody's personal life? And then finally, we will look at privacy settings. So obviously, particularly Facebook has a spectrum of privacy settings. You can make things not available to anybody apart from your friends. You can make things completely public, or there's sort of things in between, like friends of friends, for example. So, you know, we look at how publicly available is the information.
Yeah, like, you know, I guess at the end of the day, people should never forget that when you post something on social media, you are essentially putting information into the public domain. And people need to think about whether they want to do that or not. So I've pulled up a couple of kind of recent IPSO rulings on this very topic, handily. So one of which is Williams versus thedailystar.co.uk. And this is a complaint from former Love Island contestant Rosie Williams that the Daily Star inaccurately reported on her cosmetic procedures. So their article included a video of her receiving fillers taken from her doctor's social media account, and it included comments from them which she said breached her privacy. So kind of, how did the committee go about approaching this?
This was a really interesting case because, you know, this was about somebody receiving cosmetic treatments, albeit non-surgical, but there's certainly a medical element to the information that the complainant was concerned about here. And that's information which, you know, medical information is the sort of thing that the committee would often say is private, and does, people do have a reasonable expectation of privacy about it. But in this case, the complainant had shared very similar images and similar material on her own social media accounts. And so the committee said that because she was willing to talk about very similar medical treatments publicly, and it was very much in the public domain, shared by her, the publication of these posts from her doctor's social media account were not an intrusion into her privacy.
Interesting. And also a similar complaint from Sky Sports presenter Emily Ward, and she posted a picture of her, this is against the Daily Mail, she posted a picture of her copy on her Instagram, and the journalist took it. We will say, for the purposes of the podcast, that the copy had an amusing picture on the top, and if you want to know what that amusing picture was, you should go and read the ruling. But they took a photo of, she took a photo of this copy and posted it on Instagram, and then it was used in an article. And she said that that invaded her privacy.
She did. And the committee said that it wasn't an invasion into her privacy for a couple of reasons. The first one was very simply, there were no privacy settings in place on her Instagram account. Anybody could see this picture and the comment. And also, the committee looked at what the information was. So it was just a picture of her coffee, and the fact that there's an amusing shape in the foam of your coffee is not generally private information about you. So that wasn't upheld.
And actually, these examples are kind of bringing up something that's also quite interesting to do with kind of public figures and celebrities, because, you know, when you live your life in the public eye and you kind of build your job and your career on kind of, I guess, putting information about yourself out in the public, does that impact your right to privacy?
Just because you're a public figure certainly does not mean that you have no rights to privacy. And in fact, there may be some cases where there's particular pieces of information that celebrities might have more privacy rights over than ordinary people. And one of those, I think, is people's addresses. So quite often people, you know, the addresses of people are published in the media, and usually it's not something that we would consider private. High profile or celebrities may well have different expectations about that because they might have security concerns if their address is published. And we had a complaint on this issue from the Beckhams, David and Victoria.
I'm familiar with David and Victoria. Yes,
David and Victoria. And they made a complaint about the Mail Online, who had published some photographs of what was going to become their new house. And they said these had been taken without their consent. This was a private place, and that private information was revealed. And this was a really interesting case for the committee, because, as I mentioned, often celebrity houses will attract an expectation of privacy because there is a real safety issue for celebrities if their address is revealed in the media. In this case, the committee said that there wasn't enough information in the article for you to be able to know where the house was, and so there was no breach of privacy in that part of the complaint. And also, I think it's quite important that this was a property that was being renovated, and it was sort of a building site. The Beckhams weren't living in it at the time the photographs were taken, so the committee basically said it's not a home at this stage. It's not an intrusion by taking pictures of your home, because, you know, it was just building site rather than a particular home.
I'm interested that you say that sometimes celebrities and well-known figures kind of have maybe more right to privacy. And I'm thinking particularly of kind of the health of people. I'm reminded of the kind of Sames versus Sunday Times ruling, which included kind of medical speculation about why the politician Nicholas Sames had lost so much weight. And it was kind of, in effect, quite a light-hearted article. But he, you know, he really felt that that had invaded his privacy.
Yeah, and that was another interesting case where the committee drew quite a clear line in that, you know, the article was largely focused on saying that Nicholas Sames had lost weight, and the committee said, that's okay, that's not an intrusion into his private life.
You can obviously see when somebody has lost weight. Yeah,
of course, and he's a well-known public figure, so commenting on his weight loss in itself is not intrusive. But the article did include speculation as to how he had lost the weight, and it did suggest that this might have been because of a particular medical procedure. And they said speculating about the fact that somebody might have had an operation was intrusive, and that it wasn't justified, even though he was a public figure. So that was upheld.
So, I mean, if we are kind of thinking about privacy more generally, what kind of advice could we give to people, kind of members of the public, about privacy?
About how to protect their privacy, or more generally? I mean, we talked about social media, and of course, people should always think about what is on social media. You can choose what you do and don't want to share. But you know, as you mentioned, be aware that this information can be picked up by anybody. And I think I mentioned that we'd published some information for the public on social media, and we've actually got quite a lot of information for the public, which isn't specifically about privacy, but we'll talk about, as I said, social media, deaths, court cases. And I think all of those leaflets that we have are really helpful to help the public understand sort of what the media is allowed to report and what they're not.
Well, thank you, Bianca. I'm really sad that this is your last podcast, and thank you very much. For people that haven't listened to Bianca's podcast on photography, do go back through and listen to that, because that is also excellent. And as always, all of this information is available on our website, ipse.co.uk. And if you have any questions, you can get in touch with us at inquiries@ipse.co.uk or via Twitter @ipsenews. So thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this podcast.